Matt, what's the most people that have ever been in a fantasy league in which you play?
I feel like 12 is the max.
Thank you.
Because, you know, after 12, you start to run out of players to draft, and you're having to start, I'm trying to think of just a random receiver.
Russell Gage.
Yeah, I was about to say Russell Gage. That's so funny. Yeah, you'd have to draft Russell Gage in your league. So so that's a rule. Never go above 12 players, and never draft before Labor Day, I would say, is another rule.
That's pretty late,
yeah,
though.
That's, you know.
I mean, it takes a lot of coordination. You know guys like me, Matt, who have too many leagues. If you save them all for Labor Day, like, you're busy the whole week.
That's true, but, I mean, there's so many things that come into focus right before the game, like Amari Cooper signing today.
Yep.
And there are going to be more moves like that probably throughout the week. So, yeah, I mean, if you had picked Isaac Garendo last week and then the 49ers signed Brian Robinson, you might not be quite as high in that Isaac Garendo pick as you were prior to the trade.
What about the Juwan Jennings pick that will be made, I'm sure, by somebody in this cockamamie 16-team league? Where would you put him on your fantasy draft board, considering what we know right now about his willingness and their availability?
I would still draft him. I wouldn't draft him really, really high, because I think that he's somebody that could get a lot of reps early on, and then if everything goes according to plan for the 49ers, he probably doesn't get as many targets later in the season, because you've got Brandon Ayuk, you've got DeMarcus Robinson, et cetera. But, I mean, obviously, things are at a standstill right now. No one's quite sure what's going to happen. I will say, though, that he's got a lot of money tied up this season in incentives. So, you know, if he's not playing 17 games, if he's not there out there you know, every game, more unlikely to reach those incentives. So basically I'm saying he has an incentive to get something done and to get onto the field. The 49ers obviously have an incentive to do that as well, given the state of their wide receiver room. So I still feel optimistic that he's going to be out there for week one against Seattle.
Matt, are we comfortable officially just saying that this is a holdout and not an injury?
No, I'm not. We don't know. Some holdouts are so public that you know everything that's going on. Juwan Jennings has decided to not make himself available. His Instagram post the other day suggests that it is. He certainly wants to get a long-term deal done. It just doesn't seem like that's in the offing right now. Now, whether he takes that to the next level, whether there's more issues once the week of practice before the Seattle game starts, I don't know yet. Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch will talk to the media on Wednesday. That's one day after their initial roster is composed. So I can guarantee you that the first 13 questions will be Juwan Jennings related.
And when you look at tomorrow and cut down day, how do you think they're going to navigate this with, assuming that they don't have resolution with Juwan Jennings? Are there some receivers that might get kept temporarily while Juwan Jennings is still trying to figure this out?
Yeah, I mean, I can't see how they can avoid doing that. And we're talking Russell Gage, we're talking Robbie Chosen would probably be the two veterans that you would keep around. And it's a good, argument between those guys. Who would you prefer? Right now, Russell Gage isn't even practicing. He's got a knee issue. So, it might be down to just one, Robbie Chosen. I do think that the 49ers are going to scour the waiver wire. We learned today what we probably expected was that they were in on, or at least interested in, Amari Cooper. Not interested in paying Amari Cooper a lot of money, because they're sort of in this awkward situation where they don't have any receivers to begin the season, but by midseason they could have their whole core of receivers back. So you don't want to commit a lot for someone who's only going to have a bit role with your team. But I do think that, you know, the waiver wire will be something that they look at very closely, because that's something where you don't have to commit a lot of money to somebody. If Kendrick Bourne is made available, and some people in New England think that's the case, that to me seems like an obvious add. Someone who could come in very quickly and get up to speed with the offense and help you out even as early as week one. So there are maybe a few guys in that category. But you know, for the most part, it's Ricky Pearsall. It's hopefully for the 49ers, from the 49ers' point of view, Juwan Jennings, and then Sky Moore. Those are your 1, 2, and 3. And don't ask me to name 4 through 6. Right now, that's a little bit up in the air. You know, what I just wrote about in The Athletic is that, you know, on the flip side of things, they are deeper at running back. They do have a blocking tight end this year. You know, they're one of the few teams that have a fullback. So theoretically, they could just slightly change their philosophy. If they're weak at wide receiver to open the season, maybe they go a lot of 2 tight end sets. Maybe they go a lot of 2 tight end, 2 running back, 22 personnel. They at least have the option to do that if there's a true crisis at wide receiver.
Matt Barrell's with us here on Willard and Dibbs, 95.7 The Game, talking out all things 49ers. By the way, while we're on receivers, Matt, it was reported earlier today when Amari Cooper went to the Raiders that the 49ers were one of the teams calling and were potentially in on him. Is that your understanding as well?
I don't know that from my reporting. I think that's Diana Rossini, my colleague, reporting that. She's always right on this stuff, so I believe it. And it makes total sense, because, you know, 49ers were in need of wide receivers. He was the best wide receiver remaining as a free agent. I actually asked specifically about Amari Cooper, I think it was when Jordan Watkins got hurt. And, you know, Shanahan said, some of the things that we're going to have to think about if this continues to be a problem. So would not be a surprise at all if Amari Cooper was on their call list.
I do wonder, though, if you go sign somebody like that who has a little name value, like maybe, I mean, you know, what if it's Gabe Davis tomorrow or what have you? If you bring someone like that in, what if things go well health-wise as the season goes on, and then there's DeMarcus Robinson, and then there's Brandon Ayuk, and you get your young guys back, who I know they want, in Jordan Watkins and Jacob Cowing. Like, how many wide receivers are you going to keep in the middle of the season?
Yeah, that's the counter argument to adding a big name guy. That after week 6, you might not need that guy. You know, but by midseason, you could have Ayuk, Jennings, Pearsall, Robinson, Watkins, and Cowing all in your lineup, all healthy. And Sky Moore. I didn't even mention Sky Moore there. So it does sound like they could have an embarrassment of riches at some point. The counter argument to that, and I'm sure there are thousands of 49ers fans screaming right now in their cars, is that between now and week 8, there are bound to be additional injuries at that position. So you can make the argument that you can never have enough wide receivers, especially on this team, especially given the injury situation that they've had this year. But yeah, I do think that it's going to be somewhere in the middle. They could find a serviceable wide receiver, somebody who knows this offense, has been either with the 49ers, like a Kendrick Bourne, or who has played in Green Bay or Miami or one of these other places, Los Angeles Rams, where you could easily come in and hit the ground running in San Francisco.
How big of an addition is Brian Robinson to another room that seems like it might be a little bit thinner than what the 49ers want?
I think it's big. I think it's potentially very big. I think the 49ers, you know, they feel like Christian McCaffrey is back. He looks like himself, but, you know, he's a running back in the NFL, and he's approaching 30. So you can't rely on him to be a 17-game starter. And then they look at the number two back or their former number two back in Isaac Arendo, and you look at his injury history. And they just needed another reliable body there, and they got a big body. And like I said earlier, I mean, this could be a team that maybe runs the ball more than it throws the ball to begin the season. They have the wherewithal to do that. I think that the Luke Farrell, he's the big blocking tight end that they signed in free agency. That could be a big component of this. I think they end up going two tight end a lot more than they did last year. They barely did that last year. And I think it's something that they want to do a lot more, and that would allow you to get away with having fewer wide receivers.
Matt Barrows, The Athletic, here on the 49ers. Look, we haven't even gotten to Jake Moody yet, and we certainly need to. Like, I know what they said, and I get the draft value and all of the reasons, but inside their hearts, like, I saw those facial expressions, Matt. So did you. How do you think they're feeling about this situation right now?
I think that they're willing to go into the season with Jake Moody and, thinking that he's going to find his groove at some point. But if he doesn't, I think that they believe they've got options. I mean, they cut Greg Joseph in early August, and he's still out there. We're coming up on roster cutdown day, so that there will be more, not fewer, kickers available after Tuesday. So I just feel like they are pretty confident that, okay, even if things go south with Jake Moody, we will have an option at kicker. And, there's always the possibility of injuries, too. Jake Moody, had a severe high ankle sprain last year. They had to find extra kickers. There are a whole group of kickers that are basically journeymen and go from... They're like, David Banner on The Incredible Hulk, just kind of hitchhiking down the road for the next opening that pops up. And there's six or seven of those guys every season, and the 49ers are pretty familiar with one of them, and Greg Joseph. I think he would obviously be their first call should that happen.
How much leash or slack do you think Jake Moody has if he comes out and has a bit of a slow start?
I mean, does it cost them games? If he goes 3 for 5 in Seattle and the 49ers win by 10 points, I don't think it's gonna matter. If it comes down to a 35-yard kick at the end and the 49ers are trailing by 2 and he's wide left, I think that'll be very problematic for this team. I don't know if it's one game, I don't know if it's two games, but I don't think the leash is as long as the 49ers are saying it publicly.
Matt, it feels like the Niners are all banged up. And then I was reading all of your reports, everybody who was out there, that Pooney was on the side, and maybe there's some optimism there for his availability for week one. And I started thinking that, like, outside of Ayuk and Mustafa, who can we sit here today and say we know is a key piece of this team, and we know they're not going to be available for week one? And all of a sudden I was like, well, nobody. Like, is there a chance this team is actually relatively healthy come next week?
Yeah, that still doesn't mean that they're deep at that critical spot, wide receiver. I mean, right. DeMarcus Robinson can be perfectly healthy, but he might not be playing the first 3 weeks because of his suspension. I think it's clear that Jacob Cowing is out for an extended period. I mean, he's a IR candidate. It doesn't look as if Jordan Watkins, the rookie wide receiver, who looked so good in the spring and early summer, is going to be back for week one. Week two, week three, I think that's more of a possibility. But, that was the hope all along. That was what was sort of Kyle Shanahan's saving grace, was that, yes, they had a lot of injuries, but very few of them were season enders or even ones that would kind of bleed deeply into the season. And the hope was that they'd start getting guys back. I mean, one of the guys who hasn't come back yet is Upton Stout. He had one of those calf injuries that they initially said was going to last a week, and it's been more than 3 weeks now. since he's practiced. So I think they're starting to get a little bit nervous there. He's looked really good. He's still their number one option. But, I think it's a real silver lining that Chase Lucas looks so good in the preseason. He got his opportunity because of that Upton Stout injury. He made the most of it. And now I feel like they're a little bit more reassured at that spot if Stout isn't, in fact, ready.
Is there anybody on the roster now who won't be tomorrow that you think would come across as a big surprise on cutdown day?
Tim Kawakami and I had this discussion on our podcast, and he picked Isaac Guerrero. I can't see that just because Jordan James, if they got rid of Guerrero, James would be their third running back, and I don't know where he is as far as coming back from his finger injury. But the guy that I've thought about all offseason really is Jair Brown. Their highest pick, what was it, in 2023, third rounder. That was when Steve Wilks was the defensive coordinator. Steve Wilks had a big hand in bringing Brown here. Steve Wilks is now with the New York Jets. I think that it's shaping up to be Jason Pinnock and the rookie, Marquise Siegel, as the starters in Seattle on September 7th. The team also has Richie Grant. He was back in practice today. I think that they'll probably at least consider keeping Sharon Neal because he's sort of a versatile piece. He can play safety. He can play cornerback. He's really good on special teams. It might mean that Jair Brown is expendable. I'm sure they're interested in or at least you guys turn these into headlines, so I have to watch my wording carefully.
Say it, Matt. I got my pen out. We're gonna I'm about to tweet it. I'm on Twitter right now. Go ahead.
It wouldn't surprise me if they got on the phone with the Jets and Jair Brown's name came up because of that Steve Wilks connection.
Okay, hang on. Matt Barrows.
Barrows predicts
Niners,
Brown
likely.
To be dealt.
Do you like the word likely? How about likely? Matt Barrows says it's likely that Jair Brown is traded to the Jets. Do you want me to hit post?
Yeah, 49ers insider, colon, big scoop, Jair Brown on his way to Jets. No, that's not correct. I'm just saying it's a vague possibility out there.
Okay. Hey, what were your first impressions of Brian Robinson Jr.?
Well, he's the biggest 49er tailback out there. He sort of reminds me of a bigger Jeff Wilson in that sort of linear tall guy, sort of runs upright in that way. He had his first practice today, just did a very, it was a light practice overall, and he was just getting his feet wet. But his size sticks out, and he spoke to the media afterwards, and he's obviously intent on making a mark on this team. I don't think he's someone who's coming in to kind of hold the clipboard and ride pine. He expects to be worked into this offense this season.
Matt Barrows says Brian Robinson will start by week 3. Post.
Breaking.
Okay. Yeah. All right, we got everything we need, Matt.
you've been aggregated. Appreciate it,
Matt. Thank you. Thank you for trusting us with your words.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Okay, there he goes, Matt Barrows from The Athletic, with all of your 49er news, including the fact that Jair Brown is now a Jet and Brian Robinson has been named the starting running back for the 49ers.
Yeah, and Steve Wilks,
exciting.
Also a Jet.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized that he got the defensive coordinator job.
Yeah, he's built for that.
He's built for everything.
Yeah.
And if you look at his Wikipedia, he is, wherever he is, he's there for 1 year. One year.
That's not a good thing.
Not usually.
That's not a good thing.
He was the assistant.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Well, he was with the Panthers from 2012 to 2017, and then he went Arizona, Cleveland, Missouri, back to Carolina, Niners, volunteer at Charlotte last year. Didn't think that was coming. And then now with the Jets, Steve Wilks, Jair Brown. He loves him. That actually makes some sense. If Jair's going to get cut, trade him for a seventh round.
Well, I mean, yeah, that's a lot of what you're seeing now with Sky Moore and Brian Robinson. That's what you're seeing. You're seeing teams go, hey, there's value with this player, but for whatever reason, they're not going to make our team. Whether it's just a positional room thing, whether it's a worn out the welcome thing, whatever it is, it's like, this is an NFL player, but he's not going to make our team. So yeah, let's trade him. And yes, if Jair Brown were on their list, he absolutely fits that definition.
And you see the Browns and Raiders just made a trade. Kenny Pickett is now a Raider. The Browns traded him for a fifth round pick in 2026. So the Raiders have a new backup quarterback. And you're starting to see some of these trades flying around here before cutdown day.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Okay, speaking to Brian Robinson, and it's Willard and Dibbs, 888-957-9570. That is the number. By the way, he was asked, hey, can you explain why you're not in Washington anymore? This is how he answered it.
I really couldn't tell you that right now. The last week or two has been a bit unusual, but nothing changes, you know, for me. You know, I expect to the same goals I set for myself three, four months ago. It stays the same, same process, same everything. I expect to do, you know, everything that I expecting to do for myself this year. I expect to continue that, even though I'm in a new home. So nothing should change. You know, same process.
Okay. I mean, I thought, you know, just in sort of listening to him today, he kind of waltzed in with, I would say, the right amount and right kind of confidence. Because this is an interesting, like, I think this has been underplayed. A lot of us are just all, yeah, that's a good running back. And you got to back up Christian McCaffrey. Well, how's Brian feel about all this? This has been a lead back his entire career.
Yep.
This is his fourth year. For the first 3 years, that's a lead dog on his team. Well, you're not going to be here. And so that's I'm not saying that they need to, you know, that they owe anything to Brian Robinson by any stretch, but you do wonder kind of mentally how he's going to approach that thing as fitting in as a number two back. And he's going to want some shine. He's going to want a role here. I think it'll be here for him.
No doubt.
Yeah.
And you look at his numbers in Washington, he only played 40% of the snaps, 45%. He's had some injuries that have kept him out of a lot of games, but consistent, 797 yards, then 733, then 799. He just is a good, solid back, and he's not going to get 200 carries here, but he's a guy, if McCaffrey happens to miss a game, you've got a legitimate veteran there, and hopefully they can use him every third or fourth series during games when they're both healthy. That way Christian can get spelled a little bit.
I'm sure they will, and he has had some injuries, although a lot of the missed games go back to his rookie year when he was shot before the year, and so he missed a lot of games there. Largely, most of his career since then, he's been pretty healthy. Washington runs a system where they move a lot of guys in and out, so they've never really done the whole, like, bell cow thing.
Right.
But he is the lead guy. He's never been a third down back, but he is the lead guy. Here's another one from B-Rob, because he was asked about expectations. So what kind of a role are you expecting?
I see opportunities for myself, you know, regardless. You know, I know, you know, C-Mac going to do his thing, you know, and I'm going to be ready to do my thing for sure, you know. Like I told, you know, Mr. Lynch before I got here, I'm like, look, you know, I respect, you know, everybody. I respect the room. I respect C-Mac, but I'm a competitor. I come here to compete. You know, I come here, you know, I'm ready to do my thing just as well as, you know, Christian ready to do his. So, you know, my job right now is just to compliment him the best way I can, and we're going to be the best duo in the league.
Yeah, love it.
He gave a little best duo in the league. Right amount of confidence. I've got respect, but by the way, yeah, looking to play football.
Yeah, yeah. He's in a contract year, yeah. And unlike some players, he's not made a ton of money. He's only made, it'll be $5 million at the end of this year over four seasons. So he's looking to get that playing time and be able to go out there and get a contract somewhere else. I know running backs don't make as much as they'd like or as much as they used to, but if he can show that he's still a good, legitimate back, he's not going to be in a committee, but you go out there and you get another 750 yards and you don't fumble the ball and you're able to catch it out of the backfield, he'll get a nice contract.
Yeah, when you just said that, I was thinking to myself about contracts and the money that he's made, because this is still a rookie deal for him. And I don't remember how high he was picked, but it wasn't that
third
early.
Third round.
Okay. Yep. 4 year, $5 million contract. This guy's been making he's been making essentially Brock Purdy money.
Yeah, exactly. I was thinking
he's
that same thing.
He's been making Purdy money so far. So, yeah, this is a big, big deal for him. Because, yeah, those career earnings right now sit at $6.9 million for Brian Robinson. So to be sent somewhere to be essentially a backup or a number two, let's not call it a backup because the number two does play each day week. But, yeah, this is probably – you're going to get somebody who's really looking to make a mark because, yeah, he's taking whatever he does with these 17 games out on the market at the end of the year.
Yeah, and, you know, he doesn't really know what happened in Washington a couple weeks ago. It seems like you're going to be the guy, and, you know, he and Austin Ekeler, different roles, but kind of sharing the load, and they have a rookie that they drafted, and, you know, Washington looked at it and thought, you know, we're not going to sign you, so we might as well get something for you now and turn some of our carries over to the rookie.
They like him. They like him. You know what? You want to know what I look for on the final weekend now of NFL games in the preseason? A lot of people are like, okay, people are trying to make a roster, right? This is the last look at everyone. You want to know what I want to see?
I know exactly what you want to see.
Who's wearing a t-shirt?
Exactly.
Because that's who's going
that's
to
right.
play.
That's who they love.
That's who they love.
If they love you, then they don't play you.
Washington has four running backs, and two of them wore t-shirts. And it was Austin Ekeler, who is brittle and a longtime veteran, and the kid,
Jacory Kroski-Merritt,
yep. Also known as Bill. And I've not, has anyone done any research on why he's called Bill? This is his nickname, Bill. But his first name is Jacory Kroski-Merritt. And yeah. They call him Bill. I don't know why, but that guy as a, and what round did he go in? He was late, right?
When he was younger. You remember the show Little Bill?
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah. He apparently had a bald head when he was younger, and okay. So his friends called him Bill.
Okay.
Seventh rounder.
Yep. And he's getting the treatment. Seventh rounder, and week three of the preseason, he's getting the dude, leave your cleats in the locker. They love him. He's been firing up draft boards.
Yep.
Firing. Woo.
Speaking of draft boards, I was thinking about this with our 16-team league. When you draft your backup quarterback, he might actually be a backup quarterback. You know?
That's true. Well, if I guess.
There's 32 quarterbacks.
And so everybody gets two.
Well,
and if somebody picks a third, we fight.
Totally.
Okay?
Give me a run on quarterbacks.
You hear that? Because Guru usually picks one in the first round.
Well,
so
you may have to with this. If you're
talking,
picking,
he might go Dak first round.
That's a joke.
If you're picking 15th in our 16-team league, and so you're picking 15th, and you go through and six running backs are gone and six wide receivers and a tight end, I mean, you might be looking quarterback at that point.
You know where my mind went? What if you get the first pick? You're the first pick in the draft. Your second pick is number 32.
Yeah.
32.
You also get 33.
You get 33, but oh my God, like your second round pick is going to be like, huh?
I mean,
Does he play? What round are we in when we start hearing guys come off the board that like nobody's ever heard of?
Probably like by the seventh round.
Eesh. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Jose in Oakland. Hi, Jose. What are you doing?
I'm driving home right now, but I'm extremely frustrated with this thing going on with the 49ers and the, you know, kicker situation.
Okay, let's talk this out, Jose.
Look, to me, it seems like Kyle Shanahan has a pretty good chance of matching Mark Levy's record of going to four Super Bowl and losing four of them. I really hope they make it to the Super Bowl this year, but if he's going to keep Moody in the team, he's going to have a chance to match, you know, his Scott Norwood moment also. This guy stinks. He's bad. He cannot, you know, I mean, he might be talented when there's no pressure. The minimum amount of pressure and the guy, he melts. He doesn't have any confidence in himself. Nobody has confidence in himself. When he's about to kick, I know for a chance, it's a 75% chance that he's going to miss it. I mean, I have no confidence in the guy, and I don't understand what they see on this guy. I mean, he's using up a valuable roster spot. They had enough time to get, you know, other kickers, you know, try out different kickers. I mean, the guy is bad. I don't know why they're still keeping him. It's not like they had to, you know, pay him $50 million a year, and if they cut him, they're stuck with that, you know, with that hit on the salary cap. Like I said, I'm so frustrated with this thing. honestly.
Jose, what would you say if the Niners were like, look, he's a third-round draft pick from a couple years ago. We're going to give him at least another year. What would you say?
Okay. Just to humor you, I would say that's enough for me, dog.
Okay. That's exactly what I wanted you to do.
That's right.
But then what would you actually say, Jose?
But on behalf of 90% of the 49ers fans out there, this guy's got to go, okay? He has to go. Honestly, I don't understand. I can guarantee you already, the first game that they play against the Seahawks, he's bound to miss either an extra point or a field goal, and we're going to end up losing that game. I can guarantee you that he's in the team.
Well, we'll see, Jose.
Jose, thank you very much.
He's going to get that opportunity.
It's going to be a no from him, dog.
Yeah, I don't think he likes being your trained monkey.
Well, you know what? This is our show. So,
right. Just to humor you.
Yeah.
Just to humor you, like, he said it.
I'm here. You're here to see if we can put together things that are entertaining for people to listen to.
No doubt.
And Jose
is entertaining.
Entertaining to listen to, especially when he says that's going to be a no from me, dog. It's entertaining.
It is.
That's not my fault.
Well, it is.
Thank you. Now, there's somebody who does like being a wind-up toy.
Did you guys get him on Friday?
Oh, yeah.
He called in?
It was
nice.
Quite large, actually.
Okay, good.
It's quite a moment.
Not banned? No yellow card caution or anything?
No, he's invited again this week.
Okay, good. Yeah, I look forward to it. I was out of the market.
Yeah, snuck him
Friday.
In before the buzzer. It was a late call.
For Jose in Oakland and the, quote, 90% of the fans that he's speaking for, you're going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to eat it and watch it and hope that Jake Moody makes kicks. Maybe you're one of those people who is hoping he misses so that you can get a new kicker.
Oh, definitely not. I would never do that. Like, come on, if you got the uniform on, I'm rooting for you. I'm rooting. And again, I'm going to lose this one. Because it was over before it even started. We had a discussion about it today. Kyle Shanahan already told you what he was doing. He told you after the game, listen to the words that he, again, these coaches choose their words very carefully. Listen to the way he talks about it when he was asked about Moody.
I mean, I thought he had one of the best games I've ever seen a guy have last week. You know, I know he missed an extra point today, which definitely doesn't make us happy, but we'll see how it goes in the year. I know he's a talented kicker. I know he's done some really good things for us. He had a rough last seven games last year, but you know, I think he's had a real good offseason and a real good preseason also.
So the words he chooses tells you, we're not bringing anybody in this week or next. That's not what we're doing. So you can forget about that. He didn't need to say it that way. He could have said, like, look, he had a great week last week. We didn't like that he missed an extra point. That's that kick, though. We feel like he's had a pretty good preseason, but we'll be ready. Jake knows that there's competition around these parts. And he could have done that. He said, let's see how it goes during the year, which essentially, to me, guarantees, I don't know what, the first month.
I don't think it guarantees anything.
I mean, you go start. Yeah, if he bumps like three extra points in
and
the
like
first week,
Matt Barrow said when he joined us, he's like, you know, if he goes 3 for 5, but you win a game by 10 points, that's not going to be necessarily a fireable offense in that moment. But if you go 4 for 4, but you need a game winner from 42 yards and you miss it, so you go 4 for 5, but your one miss was a game winner, and it was makeable. That to me becomes more of an issue than in the previous scenario.
It's tough because it'll be the only talking point as well, and people will be going nuts. He did say that he thinks Jake is on thinner ice than the Niners are making it sound.
Yep,
which is right. Yeah, I did that. That's kind of the point I've been making all day too, which is that you can say what you want at a press conference. Too bad I saw your face. I saw your face. I saw both of your faces right there in the face. You guys were livid. You were livid in a preseason game, the special teams coach and Kyle Shanahan. So that matters. That matters. And we know damn well that what people say about their players in public and what they say to other coaches behind closed doors, those are two very, very different things. You know what I mean? Like, we've watched that with all of the teams. We've watched it with everybody. We've watched Bob Melvin have people's backs until suddenly he doesn't have people's backs. We've watched Steve Kerr, pump up Moses Moody and Jonathan Kuminga and then bench them for long periods of time. Like, there are conversations happening behind closed doors. I have no doubt that the Niners are terrified of Jake Moody right now. But they feel like they're in a spot, which is A, boy, he looks good in practice. B, he is talented, so talented that we made him a third-round pick. And C, oof, we made him a third-round pick, which means we are both embarrassed and out a handful of guaranteed money that we don't want to spend if we move on from this guy right now.
Yeah, not yet embarrassed. I mean, it would be embarrassing if you got to that point where you had to get rid of your third-round kicker, which you don't often see kickers taken above the fifth or sixth round. A lot of times it's the seventh round. So I don't think they're yet embarrassed. They understand the situation.
No. I mean embarrassed if they were to move on from him. They'd be embarrassed to move on from him.
Because, of course.
Yeah, 2 years ago they made him a relatively high pick.
One of the highest picks in recent years. You know, you have to go back a long way. And, of course, Sebastian Janikowski of the Raiders was a first-round pick.
Yep.
But that was the Raiders, and he had a good long career. You got a guy here in the third round, and, yeah, you don't want to have to admit you're wrong and go out and find another kicker. I was looking at free agent kickers on the street, and we talked to one of them today. Mason Crosby.
Still only 40.
About to be 41 next week. Yep. So, I mean, not so old that he can't possibly come back. I think he's probably ruled it out.
Oh, yeah, he's not coming back. It's funny. I was, he mentioned to us multiple times about, like, kicker expectations are so different now than they used to be. Now you're expected to make your 50 to 55 yarders. Back then, he's like, dude, that was like, you got a big high five if you can knock one of those through. And you looked at Mason's numbers over 50 yards. Barely over 50%. And he's right. That's not good enough anymore. And that's back when he was 25 and 30.
Right.
Now he's 40. So, yeah, I do not think that – I think Mason's done.
You're right.
Got himself a radio show. He's probably making at least 30 grand a year out there in Wisconsin.
Playing a lot of golf, no doubt.
Yeah, exactly.
Living the good life. And he also mentioned something interesting about patience, because Mason Crosby's first 4 years, looking at his numbers – he didn't even get 80% in any of those 4 years. Year four, they win the Super Bowl, and he gradually got better. Kicking now, the percentages are all much, much higher, so the bar has been really raised. But he was talking about, just the patience, and he was hoping that the Niners would be patient with Jake Moody. And, you could say that they already have been, but this first 4 or 6 games, that's going to be key for Jake Moody to earn a little bit of that trust back.
Let's go to Bud in Oakland next up. Hi, Bud. Thanks for the call.
What's good? What's good, man? Yeah, I just dropped my son off at football practice right now, so he's got to go put that work in himself. You know what I mean? Listen, as far as this Niners situation, bro, Niners fans, all y'all can do is just wait and see what happens. Let's just see how the season turns out. I mean, of course, that's the writing on the wall. All we can do is wait and see what happens. As far as the kicker thing, I mean, it's not like he's got to learn the scheme if the Niners did go out and find a new kicker. I mean, all he has to do is stand there and kick the ball when it comes to him. So there's no scheme involved. But, yeah, I mean, the Niners feel like they have something good. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I mean, yeah, the guy misses kicks. But I forget the coach, who was the coach of the Vikings at the time. He said the worst thing he did was cut Daniel Carlson. The Raiders picked him up, and he's looked good since then. They don't look like they're going to let him go anytime soon. So you never know what you got. And I understand you guys gave this guy a couple of years. But, I mean, you might divorce your wife that you had for 5 years. And next thing you know, she hits the lotto. She's looking good all over again. You know what I mean? Especially that check, Will. So, thanks for taking the call. So.
Yeah, bud. Appreciate it. No, I get all that. But at the same time, you do have to live in the moment. This is odd, but you want to know the player who just came to mind for me when he was talking about that? Connor Joe. Connor Joe turned into a good baseball player. He turned into a guy who was a staple for a little while in the Pirates lineup and in the Rockies lineup. Farhan was absolutely ripped for having him as an opening day outfielder, rightfully so, and you couldn't keep him. You couldn't keep him out there. But he did turn into a good player. Different teams have a different amount of patience. We see this with the Warriors all the time. How much patience do you have for young players to develop, right, when you're trying to win out there? The Niners cannot go through kicker bumps and bruises all year this year. They can't do it. So he may be great someday. He needs to be good this year.
Right.
Or else he's not going to be their kicker anymore.
Well, if they're a team like Carolina, for example, you could go through bumps and bruises because you're probably not going to be in a win window, which is where the Niners certainly think they are. So, yeah, bumps and bruises up to a point, but if he's blowing game winners and if he's messing up on PATs, and he's only missed two PATs in the regular season in his career, so it's not like the guy's been a train wreck. And I know he missed one in the Super Bowl. It was a big one, but by and large, on PATs, he's been among the league leaders.
Right. I'm sorry. That sounded funny. PATs. Like, yeah, you should make all the PATs.
Yeah, most of them.
Pretty much, you should make all of them.
You should probably be about 97%, I'd say.
You can miss one. I give you one, unless it's blocked or somebody, bad snap, whatever. We're sponsored by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater, 888-957-9570. It's Willard and Dibbs. Anything from the Nutt family.
Now, back to Willard and Dibbs on 95.7 The Game.
Oh, as it turns out, mine are being kind of squeezed a little bit right now as we speak. What, Lucas?
Yours
you better be careful.
Squeezed?
Yeah. I'm in a little bit of a situation. This is a stupid privileged situation. It's not a big deal.
Gotcha.
It's something that like...
Don't talk about that.
No, we're in a vice grip right now.
No. We're good. We're fine. We've actually talked about it a little bit over the last couple of weeks. You know this Oasis reunion tour that's going on.
I do, yeah. I'm familiar with it.
And you've got all these people in my life, including Ken here at the station, who traveled, I'm not kidding, at least four or five people that I know have traveled to Europe to see this show. I'm like, where are y'all getting all this dough?
Oh, yeah.
And I tried, like, the way they did this a few months ago, and I know you're not a fan, but I'm a huge fan, and a few months ago, or maybe even a lot of months ago, you had to, like, go into a lottery to even get the right to buy tickets.
Sounds right.
And I did not win. But then all of a sudden, they are now, I think they're done with their Europe tour. And so now they're coming stateside.
Okay.
They're on their way. And I get this email and they're like, so the promoters have found that a few more tickets are still available. You've been identified as somebody who might be interested. Are you interested? And I'm like, sure. Great. I'm interested. Well, I just got the email. So they're going to be in LA opening weekend of the NFL season.
Sounds about right.
September 6th and 7th.
Okay.
They're going to be at the Rose Bowl. So, Mark, do you want tickets? And literally during the commercial breaks of this show, I've gone down the rabbit hole of, okay, what would tickets cost? What would the plane flight cost? What would a hotel cost? And can I do all of that without missing Scott Hansen and his kickoff at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning?
In other words, your Sunday job that you have.
Well, that's at night. So let's say Saturday night in L.A., can I fly down? Can Christy and I fly down Saturday afternoon, go to the show, get a room, get up at 5 in the morning, turn around and fly back? If she's listening, she's already shaking her head because that probably doesn't even sound good to her. She's like, what? We're going to go to L.A. for...
Right.
15 hours, 7 hours. To see a band that I don't even really like and watch you geek out in front of all this and then get up in the middle of the night to come home and watch 7 hours of football.
Right.
Like that
nice
sounds,
weekend.
Right. Sounds awful, right? And I think it would cost at least, give or take, we're talking somewhere in the neighborhood of about $1,500.
Yeah, it's about right.
And I'm like thinking about it.
Have you seen this band before?
Yes, one time, but it was...
Right.
Forever ago. It was at the Civic here in the city.
Okay.
A long time ago.
That is a long time ago.
Yeah. And now, no, I'm not spending that. What are we doing?
Yeah,
No.
That's right.
No. It's not me. It's no. It's no. I'm not doing that. That's stupid. Do you know what I like? That money is needed elsewhere.
Yeah, you can just drive down. Drive back.
I thought of that. That would sound even worse to her.
Yep.
And I don't want to go alone. Then I'm really like, what are we doing?
Alone, singing every word to every song.
Champagne
totally.
Supernova by myself. What are we doing? That's just so
That's
stupid.
Pretty sad.
It's awful.
It's pretty sad.
I mean, I could find someone to go. I don't want to go with anybody else. What are we doing? But why am I having a hard time deleting this email?
Because it's your band and you really want to go. You really want to make it work.
I do. I do. Like, I want to go to this tour.
I do.
I do. Oh.
I do, but...
This conundrum on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And then, by the way, speaking of sad hours, remember, countdown is 9. It's 10 to the summit. It's 9 until the day Scott Hansen comes on this show.
All right. And that's going to be the day of our draft then, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
So a week from Wednesday, Scott Hansen on with Willie and Dibby.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. It's great. And football is here. When you get Scott Hansen on and you start to go through your fantasy drafts, and right now I'm looking at a 16-team mock draft that was done just to kind of, you know...
I can't believe
stick my toe in the water of what this league is going to be. A 16-team league here at 95.7 The Game.
That's a lot. It is a lot.
It's all inclusive.
You better do a deep dive dibs over there.
Yeah.
If you're going to figure out who you're taking in the 15th round of a 16-team draft.
Yeah. I mean, you're.
What the hell?
You're down into like 230, 240 players. But yeah, it's a lot. Interesting to see what these experts did with their various approaches.
I will look into it since I've never done one before. Yeah. Might as well look into it. So it's cut down day tomorrow. Your favorite radio hosts will be at Splash at Thrive City and enjoying ourselves over there. And one of our listeners is going to be there doing a draft, hopefully with a bunch of friends. So we're looking forward to the whole thing, but I'm also pretty interested to see what exactly the Niners do. I thought that was a hell of a nugget from Matt Barrows in that they discussed on the pod with him and Tim Kawakami who might the Niners cut that you didn't see coming. And he said maybe Jair Brown, and Kawakami said Garendo.
Yeah, I like it. And that's kind of the answer I was fishing for with the question, because I do think that Garendo could be in a little bit of a tough spot.
Yeah.
He doesn't seem to stay healthy, and... You know, you got Brian Robinson, so now he's been moved down another peg, and you've got a rookie coming back when his finger heals, and you're going to want to have him around. So it becomes interesting. You start running out of spots, and hard decisions have to be made.
Yeah, I'm with you, though, I don't see it as likely, but I could wrap my head around it because Kyle seems mad. And mad's probably the wrong word. But this is somebody who publicly, Kyle Shanahan, publicly, all the way back in April, was like, Isaac Garendo needs to figure out how to take care of his body so that he can make it through an NFL season. And from the moment he said that in April, all the dude has done is get hurt over and over and over again. He got hurt in camp. He walked off holding his shoulder on Saturday. And now he's been replaced. So I could see it. I could see the 49ers being like, this didn't work out. Like, what's the point? What's the point of investing in somebody who you're almost sure is going to get hurt every 2 or 3 weeks?
Yeah, especially as you look at this year's draft class, 11 new players coming in, and you know, you start to think about guys that you just drafted. They've got more years remaining under contract than Garendo. So if you're going to invest in a younger player, you sometimes have to move off a guy who hasn't really been working out.
Well, and think about what a Shanahan thinks about a running back position. I'm not going to say they don't value it. They have Christian McCaffrey and Brian Robinson on the team. But the point is I do think Kyle thinks that he can always find another running back. I think he thinks he can get yards from a lot of different people. And the history of that last name is that he's right. And so he's probably even more teed off when it's like, I know I can get yards out of this guy, but you have to stay healthy sometimes. Like, everybody gets hurt, but you got to be available, and he's just not. So, I don't know. It feels like the type of year where there may be a surprise or two. We find out by 1 o'clock tomorrow, and yep. I can't wait to talk it out with you once once we've got all of our answers.
No doubt, and he would be just the latest in a long string of Shanahan running backs that he drafted who just don't work out. Ty Davis Price, sure. Trey Sermon.
Sure.
I mean, we can run through the Joe Williams out of Utah. I mean, the list is long, and hopefully for Grendo, he won't be on that list as of tomorrow.
If Jake Moody misses another kick, I say the Niners boycott the third round forever. Don't ever participate again. You get a third rounder, trade out. Every time.
Pooney. Dominic Pooney.
I know.
Danny Gray.
Uh-huh.
Ty Davis Price.
Uh-huh.
Trey Sermon. Uh-huh. Ambry Thomas.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Hurd, the aforementioned.
Uh-huh.
Fred Warner.
Jake Moody. Yeah, Fred. Okay.
Tarvarius Moore.
C.J. Beathard.
Well,
great saying. Third round pick.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Yeah, Grandy, what are you doing? What are you doing?
We're going to hear the crossover where you guys, along with Steiny and Goo, yelled about Juwan for a bit.
Yeah, Steiny's back. Steiny's back. Full force crossover all week long. And it's brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. You want to do it again tomorrow?
Yeah, not here, though.
Okay, fine.
Let's take it on the road.
All right, where do you want to go?
Splash.
Done. For Dibs, for Grandy, for Lucas, I'm Mark. Shoot your shot. It's all you got.